Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Welcoming Wellness and Wisdom, where we explore innovative strategies, insightful books, and healing modalities to take control and optimize your own health and well-being. I'm your host, Debbie McCarthy, a certified holistic health and life coach, hypnotherapist, and Reiki healer, along with my husband, Dave, an avid runner and wellness enthusiast. Dave and I have taken a short hiatus for the summer and are so excited to be back with our audience again. Are you ready to explore strategies for breaking bad habits and creating lasting change in your life? In this episode, we'll be diving deep into the psychology of habits, exploring why we fall into unhealthy behaviors, and most importantly, how we can overcome them. We'll be sharing practical tips and techniques for breaking free from destructive patterns and creating new, sustainable habits that support our well-being. Whether you're struggling with procrastination, overeating, or any other unwanted behavior, this episode will provide you with the tools you need to make positive changes in your life. Before we begin, I wanted to introduce you to my friend, Alan Thomas. After reaching 304 pounds at the age of 55, Alan lost 129 of those pounds in 260 days, and he conquered his personal battle with obesity. And not only that, but his wife, Angie, lost 63 pounds in 190 days. Today, they help ordinary men and women lose the weight that's holding them back from living the extraordinary lives they were born to live. He knew something needed to change as he tried for years to lose weight and failed trying every diet out there. That's when Alan began to rethink dieting. Alan and Angie host a free training to share a simple 5-step strategy they used to drop a total of 192 pounds. And they help countless others do the same thing. In this training, you'll learn the simple step-by-step game plan to drop hundreds of pounds, why the perfect diet is a myth, how you can break out of food prison, how to change your eating habits for good, and why excess calories are never the root of obesity. You can register for this free training now at transformmyfuture.com/wellandwise. We'll put this link in the show notes as well. Now's the time to get back your confidence, your energy, and your life. So grab a pen and paper and get ready to transform your habits for the better. Dave, let's start with the basics. How are habits formed and how do you break the not so good ones?
So the subject of habits brings to mind two groundbreaking books, The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg and Atomic Habits by James Clear. I must say that Atomic Habits has had a huge impact on my life. In this book, James Clear made the great point that you want to focus on optimizing your daily habits and seek improvement day over day. For many achievement-oriented type A people like myself, it might seem a little bit counterintuitive to focus on daily habits rather than shooting for that big, hairy, audacious goal. But when you focus on making small incremental improvements day after day, they compound over time. Just like compounding interest in a bank, if you compound your habits over time, the tiny habits will stack up to create some amazing outcomes. The key is taking consistent action. Before you know it, you will have completed that book manuscript or will be ready to run that marathon. If you want to learn more about the power of habits, I suggest you check out both of these books. We will put them in the show notes.
Yes, and with James Clear's book and making those small incremental improvements day after day, that's just like what Alan and Angie did, right? I mean, it took
Absolutely.
Alan 260 days to lose 129 pounds, but he was slow and steady and that and consistent, and that's what helps win this race, you know?
Consistency day over day.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, Deb, how do you recognize what prompts unhealthy behaviors?
Well, the key is identifying triggers and cues ahead of time and then changing course direction before they become a habit. And you know that James Clear says that it takes 21 days for an activity to become a habit. And when you think about it, that's a long time for you to realize that something's not so good for you, right?
Yep.
I think we all know innately what's not good for us, as we have intuition, but we often choose to ignore it. And when I reflect on this and I think about one of my big bad habits, okay, obviously being a coach, okay, in my profession, is jumping in and helping others who have not asked for or do not want my help, right? And I've classically done this with you and my children,
Yes,
right?
yes.
Okay. And I just presume that people want my help and my advice, right? And you can pretty much guess what happens when I offer it, right?
Doesn't go well.
Yeah, they're unable to receive the help and oftentimes become very resentful that I even offered it in the first place, right? And for me, I end up getting triggered because I'm not being acknowledged for the help I'm providing, right? And it's taken me all of my 58 years to finally come to this realization. And part of this kind of, I became triggered, on an unplanned visit across the country trying to help my dad while he was hospitalized recently. And he desperately needed my help, but he didn't actually ask me for it. So as you can imagine, the trip didn't end too well. And my true gift here is that I learned patience is the key to recognizing these cues before you become triggered. Waiting and offering support only when asked to, and not taking it personally when people don't want it. This is a huge realization that I'm going to carry forward to break my unhealthy behavior of always trying to rescue people and then getting myself worked up when they're unable to acknowledge my help and contribution.
It takes a growth mindset, though, to look at a
Yes.
situation like that and to learn from it and to take a positive out of it instead of,
Yeah. Being the victim, right?
being the victim.
So that was a big one, big realization. So, Dave, what is the key to creating achievable steps towards change?
So big goals can be very overwhelming at times. Their enormity can overwhelm us and just stop us in our tracks. And it comes back to developing habits that will support your pursuit of that big goal. And that's where having a coach or an accountability partner can be helpful. Seek out people who have been on a similar journey, as they can share their experiences and their expertise, which will make your journey even easier. An example is that when I started running 35 years ago, I was determined to go at it alone, and I attempted to train for my first marathon by myself. Looking back, it was a huge struggle to train by myself, and I had no clue what I was doing. As a result, I did not finish my first marathon. But after I joined a local running club, I suddenly had a highly accomplished coach and was part of a community of like-minded people with similar goals. I began to thrive while training with this club and achieve some goals that I never would have attained on my own. The key really was getting a coach and training with other like-minded people. When it comes to actionable steps, this reminds me of the old saying, The only way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. Similarly, best-selling author Jack Canfield has an expression that the only way to fell a big tree is to take one axe swing at a time. It really comes back to breaking that big goal down into actionable steps and taking that consistent action that we talked about earlier. Sometimes the greatest challenge is just getting started and developing some consistency. But let me tell you, consistency will eventually lead to momentum, which will make you unstoppable.
And you are unstoppable when it comes to your running. I've never seen someone so motivated and dedicated to the craft of running. I mean, literally, so he was up at 6 a.m. this morning, out. It was still kind of dark out, and you're gonna be climbing a mountain tomorrow too, on top of it all. So I just give you so much credit, and it really does help to be around like-minded, motivated people who have that similar goal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been a huge help since I got involved in my local running club MVS about 5 years ago, and just being around like-minded people, people with big goals and people who are stretching and pushing themselves, and it just kind of it rubs off, and
Oh,
it
yeah.
becomes
I love that.
no, yeah, that's great. So Deb, how important is accountability and encouragement when trying to break a bad habit or behavior? And when is it time to reach out for professional help for emotional and mental health?
It's huge, and it's important to build a positive support system around you that provides this encouragement, accountability, similarly to what you have with your running club, as well as emotional and mental stability that you can often get from family, friends, neighbors, a therapist, or a coach. A life, business, or health coach like myself can play a crucial role in providing encouragement and accountability as you work to break a bad habit or a behavior. And we can help you set specific, measurable, and achievable goals with regular check-ins to review your progress. We can provide support and guidance, especially through the challenges, and can hold you accountable. A coach can cheer you on and celebrate your achievements and milestones along the way. Having someone in your corner recognizing your progress and successes can boost confidence and motivation and help you stay on track to achieve lasting change. Here's an example. I started 3 months ago helping my sister Jen lose weight and feel better about herself. She's 53 years old. She came to me and hired me to be her health coach. I was actually, frankly, shocked, and I'm so glad I was patient and didn't jump in ahead of time before she was ready for the help. Her goal was to is to lose 20 pounds, and she's halfway there. 10
Okay.
pounds in 3 months, slow and steady and consistent. This is exactly what we're talking about. And she feels really good about herself right now. These small, simple, steady changes she's been making have been the key to her success in dropping those 10 pounds. And now that she's seen some positive results by tracking her progress and celebrating those milestones, she believes in her head she can do it. She's motivated and has the confidence to get it done. And I, her big sis, is her biggest cheerleader.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And when you find yourself not making progress on your own with support from family, friends, or a coach, it might be time to call on a professional. It's especially important if you've experienced trauma in the past that you can't stop thinking about, or if you're having any kind of suicidal thoughts. I particularly like betterhelp.com and psychologytoday.com sites that offer therapists and mental health professionals in many specialties. They take insurance, HSA debit cards, and have flexible payment terms. Certainly worth exploring this alternative if you need it. The other option is to try hypnotherapy. I am a certified hypnotherapist in a technique called quantum healing hypnosis, QHHT. I've worked with clients to overcome weight loss challenges, quit smoking, overcome their fear of flying, better understand their anxiety, and process traumatic experiences from the past. It's a safe and effective technique that can bring relief, answers to questions, healing of body ha ailments, and overcoming fears and bad habits. The beauty of it is that you are providing your own answers and healing from your subconscious mind. Sometimes we lose sight of our subconscious and we live in our unconscious mind, right? The mind of our ego. This uses your subconscious. It digs deep down into the subconscious to help you with healing. Please check out my website, debbie-mccarthy.com, and request a free consult if you want to discuss this option further. Dave, how important is it to reward yourself for progress and success through positive reinforcement?
As I mentioned earlier, strategy for tackling a big goal is to break it down into pieces so as not to get overwhelmed by the enormity of it. But along this journey, it is important to set key mini goals and celebrate these milestones along the way. Celebrating these milestones will serve as a reward. This will help you maintain consistency and momentum towards your goal. Rewards might be a favorite food, a night out with your partner, a massage, or even a night in watching a favorite Netflix show. When I started running and began watching my diet many years ago, my favorite reward for working out was a Pepperidge Farm chocolate chip cookie, as I found them to be simply delectable. Since there were only a few cookies in each package, I did not have too much trouble limiting myself to just one or two. So think about what sort of reward would be motivational to you when you reach key milestones.
I have to think about this one. One of my favorite rewards and one of my favorite things to do for self-care is to go get a pedicure,
Oh,
to
there
get
we go.
a massage, to have my toes polished. It makes me feel good. And I don't do it as often as I would like to, but it's like my reward when I've been working hard, I've been on my feet all day, and I just take the time to go do it and relax. That's kind of like my reward.
Maybe I ought to try that.
You should, because your feet
Okay.
don't look too good, runner boy.
Yeah, I get ugly toes. So, Deb, how can we become more mindful and self-aware of our actions so we are less likely to develop a bad habit or bad behavior in the first place?
One of the things I do is take time out each morning to get quiet and focus on my breath and do a short meditation and mindfulness practice. When the weather is nice, I love to sit outside at our little fire pit area and our Adirondack chairs in my backyard barefoot to ground myself and connect with nature. I close my eyes, I can hear the birds. I can hear the chipmunks and all the squirrels kind of about, and it really helps bring me into the present moment. So I'm not thinking about all my problems and what I've got to do for the day. And when I'm sitting there with my eyes closed, connecting with nature, listening to this beautiful orchestra outside, I get these downloads, these hits, these information that I need to get me through the day, like to help me with work. It's amazing. Like I'll just ask like a simple question, what is it that I need to know today? And boom, something will come to me and I'm like, wow, where it came comes out of nowhere. But it takes just the quiet time where your busy mind just can sit and relax. I also love this app by one of my spiritual teachers and best-selling authors named Gabrielle Bernstein. And the app is called Gabby, Gabby. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's an amazing way to start the day in a positive way. Basically, she's a coach on call in this app. So there's a positive affirmation that I select randomly. So I twirl this little thing and one of her cards pops up and it's a nice, beautiful, positive affirmation. And then there's a 1 to 2 minute exercise. Today, the exercise was practicing humility. Boy, can you imagine if we all practiced humility, what a great place
Wow.
the world would be, right? And there's a 5 to 10 minute meditation depending upon what I need. There's one, I mean, any category possible. She's got hundreds of meditations built into the app. Anxiety, stress, forgiveness, gratitude. They're beautiful. And there are also journaling prompts in there. Some people prefer to write rather than listen to a meditation, but there's something there for everybody. And it's really what I found to help me get my day started.
That's wonderful.
Dave, what has helped you become more mindful and self-aware?
There are a few things that help me stay mindful and self-aware. First of all, I am a big proponent of making lists. Getting stuff out of my head and written down, either on paper or Apple Notes, really helps me immensely. And once I see my list, I can better prioritize and set goals. And oftentimes, there's less items in the list than I would expect because what I've found is a lot of times this you kind of loop around with the same issues again and again. So it's not nearly as overwhelming once you get it on paper. And so it doesn't seem nearly as overwhelming when you look at it written down. And so I've developed this approach where I set 3 goals each day, 3 goals each week, and 3 goals each quarter. And my daily goals are often a sub-goal of a weekly or quarterly goal. And I do track my progress on a daily basis. And then each Sunday, I review the previous week and set goals for the upcoming week. And this, I know it's a highly systematic approach, but it really just helps me focus in on what is truly most important and plan my time accordingly. I'm also sure.
I'm a huge proponent of list making. Here's my list.
Indeed. Indeed.
13, and then I ran out of room, and so I got like five or six other things written at the top. I just check, and God, you just feel so accomplished when you get all the check marks, and then I can just
Exactly.
crunch it up and toss it in the garbage and start the new one.
Exactly. So I also try to take, 10 minutes each day to get calm and meditate using my Calm app. And I just try to get some form of exercise in each day as well. And I've just found that exercise, whether it's running, walking, hiking, or even just riding an exercise bike, just helps me develop more mindfulness and self-awareness. And it helps me kind of come back and refocus on what's most important and not become so consumed with all the other trivial stuff. Another strategy that I've had some mixed results, trying to implement is just blocking time to handle the trivial stuff rather than always responding and handling it in real time. And I try to do this with email as well. And I call it, chunking the busy work. So all that quick whatever stuff, do that later in the day and try to utilize mornings for the most important and kind of the deep work.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you like the Calm app, right?
Yes,
Yeah,
yes.
we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well.
So, Deb, do you have a personal example of how you have replaced a bad habit with a healthy alternative to fill the void?
Sure. So, one of my not so good habits that I'm still working on, it's a lifelong working. But I'm getting closer is to overcoming my habit of overspending. And you know that this has always been a source of contention between us. And what I've tried to do is find healthier alternatives like reading and listening to inspiring books and podcasts. Keeping My Body Moving with Yoga and Pilates, and doing things that bring me joy every day, like hiking in nature, walking on a beach, riding my bike. The more I focus on these healthier options, the less likely I am to spend needlessly.
To summarize a few of the key takeaways from today's episode, focus on making small, incremental, consistent improvements day after day as they compound over time. Identify the triggers. Understanding what sets off your unhealthy habits is crucial in breaking them. Once you're aware of the triggers, you can take proactive steps to avoid or counteract them. Replace the bad habits with the good ones. Instead of trying to eliminate a habit altogether, focus on replacing it with a healthier alternative. For example, swap out late-night snacking with a warm cup of herbal tea. Seek support. You don't have to do it alone. Reach out to friends, family, coaches, or a support group for encouragement and accountability. Practice self-care. Taking care of your physical, emotional, and mental well-being can help you resist the urge to fall back into old habits. Make time for exercise, meditation, or hobbies that bring you joy. Be patient and persistent. Breaking the not-so-good habits takes time and effort, so don't get discouraged if you slip up along the way. Stay committed to your goals and keep pushing forward. By implementing these tips and strategies, you can gradually break free from unhealthy behaviors and create a healthier, more fulfilling life. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, and we hope you found these insights helpful in your journey towards positive change. Don't forget to follow, rate, and review this podcast. And if you want to work with us, check out our website at debbie-mccarthy.com. On the homepage, you can schedule a complimentary 60-minute coaching session and subscribe to our monthly newsletter that provides inspiring messages, helpful health tips, and upcoming events. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out on our website or via email at coach@debbie-mccarthy.com. As always, consult your physician before beginning any diet, nutrition, or fitness plan. The information presented on this podcast is in no way intended to recommend the self-management of health problems or wellness as medical advice or as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. And make sure you are always welcoming wellness and wisdom into your life.